Let's give the worship team a round of applause. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It is great to be able to worship the Lord our God in this free country that we reside in. It is just a blessing to know that we can sing of the victory that we have now and the victory we're going to continue to have. Hallelujah. It's just not victory today. It's victory the rest of our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because there's victory in who? There's victory in who? Amen. Hallelujah. It is great to know our victory is in Jesus and Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Well, I want to make a few announcements here. First of all, we remember September 1st is our annual business meeting. So keep that in mind. It's at 7 o'clock. All are welcome. But only those that are members in the church, have a membership, can vote. But all are welcome to attend. Secondly, the girls' ministry in September 8th, on Wednesday night, the girls' ministry's fall classes are going to start. And it's going to be a good year to start out, girls and leaders. It's going to be a blessing. Also, on the 12th, of September, the girls' ministry is going to have a award ceremony that Sunday. So come out, participate. These girls went through a lot of hard work to achieve these badges. So come out and just honor them because it's a blessing to, for us to be here to honor them for the hard work and effort they do. Also, Men's Work Day is going to be coming on September 11th and also whatever's not done, September 25th to redo the kitchen renovations. So those that have time and can set aside time in their schedule to come and help us try to get that kitchen done, those dates keep open and come on out and help us. We'll be blessed. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll just have a blessed time of fellowship and get work done in the not only the body of Christ, but the building for Christ.
Mm.
So praise God. Also, just want to, those that go out this way, and if you don't go out this way, go out this way, because there's an update on our missions board. See who we support and see what we're all, what we're doing, because we're here to get out the Great Commission, to fulfill the Great Commission.
Mm.
Our missionaries are working on that effort. So along with us, we join with them so that we can help them reach the gospel to the whole world. So praise God. Also, I want to remind those that are on the bike trip for men's ministry on the 28th of August, we will be meeting here at the church. So those that wish to ride on that bike trip, come on out. If you have any questions, see me or Ishatu. With that, can we give a round of applause as we welcome the pastor?
Thank you, Harry.
Yep.
We welcome our phone church and our live stream, and we welcome you here today, too. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 37. I want us to look at a stirring in the graveyard, other known as the graveyard comes alive. Starting with verse 1, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, we just pray that you will bless it. Bless these people, Lord, that hear it. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for what you're doing. And Father, we thank you for your touch this day. Lord, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. We thank you for all the promises that you give to us in your word. And Father, we thank you and praise you for it all. Amen. What a scenery. When you read the book of Ezekiel and especially chapter 37, what a scenery. Standing on the rim of the valley, in the very hands of the living God, Ezekiel stared in amazement at the sight below him. The valley was filled with bones. Filled with bones. Can you imagine that? Looking in the valley, and they're just filled with all kind of bones. Human bones. Not dinosaurs, but human bones. Disconnected, sun-bleached, haggard bones. It was a scene that I believe that the thrill writers of today would have enjoyed. But the drama was just beginning. And the prophet Ezekiel wrote the series of events in his prophecy book, chapter 37 and 7 and 8. Let's take a look at it. Verses 7 and 8. Chapter 37. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Wow. Doesn't that excite you? Bones. Dry bones. Here we see the drama. Now, the canyon, the valley, was filled with human zombies. We just thought we heard this here term how many years ago, zombies. Well, back then there was. Swinging, swaying slowly in the gentle breeze. But there was no breath in them. Is it cold in here? Harry, you want to help out a little bit? Yeah, just you turn the heat on. All put together perfectly, they were formed, but they were very dead. Just like it came out of the Twilight Zone. God, I believe at this moment he was up to something. And he was showing a vivid picture to the prophet in the last days. That's what was happening. The bones of the Jews have been scattered from the north to the south, the east, and the west. And from the earliest Assyrian attacks of Samaria to the latest invasions, the scattering has been worldwide. One man said this, if you ever go to Israel, take time to go to Tel Aviv and visit the museum there of the dispersion. He said, walk silently through the extensive displays and weep. Weep for those of the house of David who became the hobos, the vagabonds, and the homeless roamers of mankind until 1948. Wow. For it was in 1948 that the bones began to come together. That's what happened. The Jews in Israel would no longer be governed by the British authority or the British rule, and they declared themselves a state they became a nation. And they tell us that 11 minutes after the declaration there, that the United States recognized Israel as a fellow nation. 11 minutes after that. And the return to the land of Israel was on the way. The bones were coming together. And it was in direct prophecy and fulfillment of what Ezekiel was talking about here. The identity of the bones was made clear by God. Look at chapter 37, starting with verse 11. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Wow. We have witnessed that happening. We have witnessed it. It has been one of history's most dramatic events. But we have not seen, though, the fulfillment in full of the last part of chapter 37 of Ezekiel. We have not seen it. And that is that Israel comes alive with revival fires. Wow. And there's going to bring forth, I believe, at that time, the greatest evangelistic endeavor in human history when that happens. There will be something to trigger and spark that their miracle, and that something will be a war. There will be an invasion. That's what's going to trigger it. There's going to be war. Now, I want us to leave here this valley of Ezekiel chapter 37. I want us to leave this valley for a moment. And I want us to go into Revelation chapter 6. The scene here is one of exceeding glory. Revelation 6. The saints of God of all ages have been called to the throne of the Creator. Keep that in mind. Untold millions of family of God worship Him. Millions of the family of God are worshiping Him. And the Revelation 4:11, it tells us this, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. At last, and safe in the arms of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, our Healer, our struggles, our battles, and labor on earth have ended. Hello. An eternity at this time has begun. We have been glorified. We have been changed. We have new bodies. Our worship is going to explode in a voluntariness. Is that a word? Voluntariness? Is that a word? I don't know. It must be. Voluntariness is going to be of joy. It will be unconstrained ease, and it's going to happen naturally. you might not be able to get your hands up high down here because of the physical problems that you might have. Arthritis setting in. But let me tell you something, church. Up there, you'll have no problem. You might not be able to sing too loud down here. And maybe you don't really want to. But up there, you will have no problem. You might not be able to stand long down here. But up there, it's not going to bother you. You might not be able to sing on key down here. But up there, you will have a brand new set of vocals. Yeah, hallelujah. Suddenly, all of a sudden, we see that heaven is quieted. And there is a movement at the throne. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, look at verses 1 and 2. This is the throne scene. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written inside and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" With the saints at this very moment safely at home, not down here, but up there, safely at home, God is going to begin the tribulation period on earth. There's a book in his hand. The scripture tells us that. There's a book in his hand, and it's the book of judgment. Three series of divine devastation will devastate this earth. The first is called the seal of judgment. The second is called the trumpets. And the third is called the vials. And there are seven in each series. And when no one in heaven can muster up the strength and muster up the ability and the courage to take the book from God's hand, guess who comes in? Jesus. Jesus steps up and he takes the book. He steps to the throne in Revelation 5:5. It says, "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals." And each of the broken seals, at this very moment, they unleash a divine judgment on earth. Each of them, a divine judgment. The first four seals are also known as the riders of the Acropolis, which is at this very moment, the Acropolis is the expectation of an imminent cosmic cataclysmic in which God destroys the ruling powers of evil and raises the righteous to life in the messianic kingdom, a prophetic revelation, a great disaster. Go to chapter 6 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." That first rider, church, his title is called Antichrist. The most asked questions of the day is this: who will be Antichrist? Who will be Antichrist? And the same answer is given. I don't know. And without being so rude and cruel as to say, and I really don't care, because I'm not going to be here. I don't plan to be here when the Antichrist gets here. And the saints of God, according to Scripture, have already gathered in God's presence before that first seal is even opened. And you will note that the first rider on the white horse, the Antichrist, comes carrying a bow. What we read, didn't we? But isn't it strange? There's no arrows. He does not carry arrows. You know, usually when we go bow hunting, you carry an arrow, right? There's no arrows. He carries the bow, but no arrows. Why? Well, he arrives to a rambunctious reception because of his stance or his attitude on peace. Hear me today, church. Peace. Antichrist, peace. He makes it clear that he's the peacemaker of the ages. And people are going to applaud him. The issue of peace is a worldwide question today. Nations live in fear of the atomic bomb. People scared. Nations are fearful because they want peace. An Antichrist who arrives after the catching of the away of the church, which is called the rapture, he promises peace. That's what he promises. But note the second rider. If you look at the second rider of the Acropolis, the second rider is war. Now somebody that promises peace, why is there war? Antichrist is followed on earth immediately by war. And can we say at this time, oh, what a liar Satan is. He promises peace and he delivers war. And we find in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, we find out what war is. Ezekiel described it in detail. It will be an invasion of Israel by Russia and her associates, Gog and Magog, which include, of course, the allies, Iran, Libya, East Germany, Turkey, and others even. And they will come at Israel with everything they got. They will come after Israel. And the question that is so much profound today as ever before, is why Israel? Why Israel? A place that is no bigger than the state of New Jersey. Why Israel? Full of rocks and trouble. And one of the former prime ministers of Israel, Golda Meir, once said very humanously, saying, how great a leader could Moses really have been? How great could this guy be? He led us to the only place in the Middle East where there's no oil. But there is something there of greater value and of more importance. Even more vital than oil. Don't tell the companies that. And the stockholders. More important than oil. And in that tiny place called Israel lies the spiritual hope of the world. Wow. The ultimate, the final concluding, the eventual redemption plan of God is going to come out of Israel. Which means this, if Israel could be destroyed, the divine decree, the command, the direction would be declared void, invalid, no value at all. Why do you think Antichrist and Satan is against Israel? So Israel is the object of Satan's attention, and the attack begins. You with me? I want you to keep in mind, it is this very act that will bring religious revival to that small country. It will. And it will not trigger a nuclear holocaust, an inferno or destruction, but it will trigger a worldwide move of God. And when the attack comes, Israel will not be prepared for it. Why? Well, we're getting there. Why? They're not going to be prepared for the attack that's going to happen. Why? Her military weapons, her arms will have been laid to rest. How do we know that? Scripture tells us. In Ezekiel 38:11, it says this, calls Israel a nation of unwalled villages, of people who are at rest. Wow. What would cause this militant nation to disarm? Why would they disarm? The answer is Antichrist. What did he come to get bring? Peace. He promised peace when he came. And Israel, desperate for rest or relief from the unending killing and constant military buildup, embraced Antichrist. So-called peace. Wow. And it won't just be Israel. There's a lot of people that's going to embrace. But Satan's prince had no thoughts at all of defending Israel. The Antichrist, no thought at all. Only to destroy her. And the attack, all of a sudden, it comes. Does the USA come to Israel's aid? Not on your life. Will not. Nor does any other nation. And the Jews stand alone. They're defenseless. Helpless. Like ducks on a pond being shot at. They have no weapons. And the invaders are vigorously coming after and pursuing them. And all of a sudden, here comes the cavalry. Here comes the cavalry. Hallelujah. The special forces. An army to the rescue. And Ezekiel 38:18 says, and it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord of God, that my fury shall come up in my face. And God is going to come to Israel's defense. Hallelujah. God's going to come to Israel's defense with a massive supernatural arsenal. Hallelujah. And the devastation and the death rate is going to be overwhelming. Now, we come to the fourth rider of the apocalypse who will visit the earth. And the earth at this time is going to be death. And the result will be over a million of people dead. Think about it. Church, I believe we could say that's a lot of people. And we would be right. Not only are the invading armies destroying quickly or completely, but most of the nations that sent them will be devastated. They will be destroyed. Five-sixths of each of the nations who participated will be wiped out, blotted out, extinguished. And Ezekiel here prophesied that it would take Israel 7 months to bury the dead, even with massive construction equipment. And they would be 7 years burning the weapons of war. What massive destruction, church. But in the midst of it all, hold on. Israel's going to turn to God as never before. And there will be a spiritual renewal in that land that has never been known to mankind at all. And it will be through Israel. The world is going to be blessed. Wow. You may be thinking, this all sounds like a movie. There have been Israeli leadership, they tell us. There have been Israeli leadership that has been interviewed. And they say this. They believe the Russian invasion is coming. But before any of this can happen, something more miraculous is going to take place. And the church will leave first. Jesus will come to take His bride away. Aren't you so glad? Church, you do not want to be here when the Antichrist is here. Right? You don't want to be here listening to my phone or live stream, you don't want to be here. You think things are confusing now and messed up. You haven't seen anything yet. You don't want anything to do with the wrath of God on planet Earth. And I want you to be assured that you want to leave when the bride of Christ leaves. And now we go back. Now we go back to the graveyard. The dry bones. The skeletons in the valley of dry bones have come together. The cartilage, the ligaments, the muscles, the tendons, the nerves have stretched across those bones. And all that remains is for the spiritual breath and life to enter into those bones and those bodies. And I believe at this very moment, the winds are about to blow. And Jesus is coming. What we are seeing nowadays and what we have been through could all be part of this plan. Listen, church, it's coming. What we have seen, what we've dealt with, what we've heard, what we hear, and what happens or could happen or whatever could be a part of this plan. A plan to get the church out of here. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you ready? In closing, what if the Church of Jesus Christ we're called to glory right now. Right now. At this very moment. It could happen. Right this instant. The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye. Would you be ready? Live stream, phone church. I'm asking you the question, would you be ready? Because it's coming. It's happening. The bones are coming together. The bodies coming together. And even though nowadays we might get upset of what we got to go through and what's happening, could be all a plan of God to get the church out of here. And we have to live our life that we will go. The sad thing about it is there's some that's not going to get to go. They've never changed their heart. Their life. It's been the same. They've never accepted Christ. But thank God He's given us another day that we can. Shall we bow our heads? Father, I thank You for this day. And Lord, I give You the glory and I give You the praise. And Lord God, some of this stuff that we read and said today might be, Lord, some people might not understand it at all. But the one thing that we do understand is that You're coming back to earth and You're calling Your church out of here. And we are to be ready. And if you're not ready, God has given to you another opportunity to get ready. Accept Him. Ask forgiveness of sins. Have Him come into your heart. Admit that we are sinners. We believe on Jesus Christ. And we confess that Jesus is Lord. Father, I pray for ones right now. Lord, that they might not understand everything. They might not understand what's happening and taking place. But Lord, they feel the Holy Spirit that's tugging at them to get right. Because one of these days, the end is coming. The church is going to get raptured out of here. And Father, we pray right now for each and every one. Lord, we pray for family members that need You. And Father, we pray Your touch and Your help. And Lord, we're looking for that day, that glorious day, as we have sung, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace, Lord, I thank You for it. I thank You, Lord God, that when the roll is called up yonder, when we all get to heaven, and Lord God, there's going to be a reunion someday like never before. Lord, there's going to be loved ones that have not here with us anymore. We're going to see. There's going to be friends that are not here that we're going to see because they've lived for You. And Father, You have touched them and You have given them a brand new body. We give You the thanks and we give You the glory. We thank You for Your word. And Lord God, I pray that You will touch. Lord, I pray a blessing upon everyone today. I pray You'll touch them and bless them. Bless their families. Bless their finances. Bless their health. Lord, I pray for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great day.